Welcome back to Word Up with Dani Katz. I am your host, Dani Katz. I am an author, journalist, and a quantum languaging coach and consultant. What that means is that I teach people how language programs consciousness, how language programs reality at large, and how to transform reality and evolve our consciousness with language. I've also been known to cultivate and share an opinion or two or 12 about culture and consciousness and how they are evolving, devolving, and being manipulated by the powers that were. Here at Word Up, we are devoted to fostering critical thinking while supporting you in becoming your most authentic, empowered, liberated, realized, amazing version of yourself. Our every show aims to expand your consciousness, raise your frequency, sharpen your critical thinking skills, and make you giggle. And think. Given the radical uptick in censorship over the past few years, combined with the complete co-opting slash decimation of my own personal industry, journalism, I started Word Up to have a free speech-friendly platform in which to engage exploratory, solutions-based conversations with visionaries, mystics, original thinkers, and rebel badasses who are helping to make the world more wonderful. The first half of my interviews run between 30 to 90 minutes and are always posted here for free public listening. The second halves are reserved for paid supporters on my Patreon and my Locals platforms, where for as little as $5 a month, you can access all of my second half conversations along with oodles of other bonus content and opportunities to drop in with me, to drop in with our High Vibe tribe, and lots of other awesome things. In addition to interviews, Word Up also features quantum languaging upgrades, planetary service announcements, and propaganda analysis, which I call Spot the Propaganda. Thank you so much for tuning in and for sharing your sacred attention with me and our High Vibe tribe of change makers. Be sure to click that subscribe button so you can stay abreast of our every episode. Thank you for also clicking the like button, for sharing far and wide, and for leaving some kind words as a review as you are authentically inspired. As well, if you are gleaning any value whatsoever from these shows, consider supporting me on Locals and or Patreon. And as you are wanting to learn more about my quantum languaging coaching and consulting services or nab copies of my books, find me on DaniKatz.com as well as on quantumlanguaging.com. Okay, I think that's it for our housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy this episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Today, I am rolling solo and diving deep, deep, deep into a languaging pattern that is programming you and me and all of us for the not so good, for the super sucky, for the very, very cursed. And I'm gonna take my time. This is the beauty of these podcasts, is they get to function as these mini quantum languaging workshops wherein you and I get to delve really, really deep into how these languaging patterns that I'm illuminating here are functioning as human and reality programming technology. So a couple things happened. And you know that when things happen to me repeatedly, I don't think that's a word, but I kind of want it to be, and I'm going to write it down. Might even be the name of this episode. If this were No Agenda, that would be the name of this episode. Repeatedly. Repeat-e-et-ly. Thanks for your patience. Okay, so as you know, when I notice a pattern, I speak to it because I feel like if these patterns are happening to me, they're probably happening all over the place because I'm not separate from this collective reality construct. I've been on the receiving end of this languaging pattern my whole frickin' life, which has actually inspired
adjusting some relationship dynamics and stepping away from some relationship dynamics. And I know you don't yet know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to give you the examples that led me into today's show. So the first one happened late last year. I would say maybe just a few days before January of 2024. And I was meeting up with a girlfriend of mine, very wise woman, who's also, you know, an expert on astrology. I don't think she necessarily identifies as an astrologer, but she certainly has a lot of knowledge. And she, you know, we had both been talking about, like, you know, this upcoming move from Pluto into Aquarius and how that would affect those who are born under the Aquarius star sign, aka me, aka she with a big gap in her teeth who's talking to you right now. So she and I were getting together for a hot springs adventure, and I hopped into her car, and immediately, like before we even went to the like, hey, how you doing? Like checking each other's temperature. She's like, Danny, this Pluto transit is going to be really hard and it's going to be really disruptive. And, you know, the only way you're going to get yourself through it is by journaling and really going internal. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, can we just slow down the projections? Can we just slow down the kind of disasturbatory curses you're attempting to project into my field and start off with like, hey, how are you? Are you open to my thoughts on what my experience of a Pluto transit was like, right? Like all of that was missing. And we'll come back to those kind of like languaging etiquette pieces in a bit. The second instance happened yesterday. I was trading voice messages with a girlfriend, another wise woman, another sister in awakening and transformation. And I'm noticing that I'm moving a little fast. So let's just pause. Thank you for your patience with me while I learn to pause. Okay. So I was trading messages with a girlfriend yesterday, and I mentioned that I'm doing a fast. I'm on day three of my fast. I've been fasting for more than 20 years. Like, I feel like I've got it dialed. That being said, I'm always open to more, you know, more advice, new tricks, new hacks. But again, she left me a message unprompted, didn't ask my permission, no warning that she was going to be, that's not true. She actually did give me a warning that she was about to offer me some unsolicited advice. But what she said was, and I just want to refer to my notes, make sure that I'm paraphrasing correctly. She said, well, when you're fasting, you really need to make sure to cover your kidneys, especially with it being so cold. It's so, so important. You have to be covering your kidneys. Now, it's not really that cold. It kind of should be that cold right now, but where I am, it's actually pretty warm. And this isn't an issue that I've had. But then she went into, as well, you need to be taking binders. If you don't take binders before you go to bed, you're going to get cramping and you're going to get, sorry, I just realized that I'm like staring. For anyone who's watching me and not listening on PRN or on one of the podcastings, I realize that like I'm staring into the light above my computer. All right, we're working it out, guys. Side commentary, courtesy of T.S. Eliot, who was the one who clued me into like, oh, you can take all these nonsensical tributaries in the middle of a book or a story. So blame him. Anyway, so then she goes into this, you know, if you don't take binders, you're going to get cramping, your stomach's going to hurt, you're going to get constipated, you're really going to be in a lot of pain. Now, with both of these instances, with both of my wise women friends, my internal dialogue is going something like this. Clear, cancel, delete, clear, cancel, delete, clear, cancel, delete, clear, cancel, delete. While energetically, I'm completely cloaking myself, putting up a ton of armor to protect myself from the curses that are inadvertently being thrust into my field by way of this sloppy, projective, definitive, disasturbatory languaging. So what we're talking about today is language that functions to curse other people. And There are a few components, so we're going to move slowly, but I'm going to throw out something a little bit provocative. I realize people have a tendency to sometimes get triggered by the stuff that I say. And I had, it's so interesting because I did a Gene Keys reading for someone who's been a longtime supporter of my work this week. And it was the first time we met in person. And she's like, well, I love your work. I don't agree with everything you say, but I love your work. And I love how when people, a lot of people, when they tell me they appreciate my work, they feel inspired to throw in that caveat. I don't agree with everything that you're saying. And so what I'm about to say is probably going to come under that category of things that people who jive with a lot of what I say are not going to be okay with. In my perspective, this is what hate speech actually is. This is real deal hate speech. And the first time I got in trouble for pointing this out was back when Trump was elected, and people who I thought were like kind, decent, respectful human beings were throwing out the most dehumanizing insults and labels and calling him like racist and rapist, and people who support him are Nazis. And I think the Nazi thing might have died down by now in current time, but like all this slewing of insults and hate. And I'd posted a video back then about like, these words actually vibrate at the frequency of hate speech. Like when you are willy-nilly hurling the racist, you know, sexual predator, rapist allegation at someone, that is hate speech, especially when you don't know if that's true. And especially when it isn't true, right? When you're totally exaggerating, but attempting to staple those words onto people who you don't really jive with, but probably weren't guilty of those accusations. Why are those things hate speech? Because those words vibrate at the frequency of violence and division. Because when I'm talking about, you know, these curses that my girlfriends are throwing at me, me as a 5D word witch, who's exceptionally, viscerally, somatically sensitive to how the frequencies of these words are programming me, I feel them as like being stabbed or as a punch in the gut. Like they are so violent to my system that has been finely tuned to these frequencies, they land hatefully, they land violently. So when I had posted that video back when Trump was elected on Facebook, back when A, people were on Facebook, B, back when I still had, you know, those loose social media friends still in my circle, and C, when I still had reach on Facebook and wasn't being completely suppressed such that no one sees any of my posts, someone from my dance community took personal issues. So this was a Black woman. And when I made this video about this is the real hate speech, she, I don't even remember the comment, it was so long ago, but like she was really offended by it. And I was like, look, like Black people don't have the sole rights to hate speech. Neither do Jewish people. Neither do women, neither do gay people, right? Hate speech is not just this one tiny thing. It's been conflated to you know, it's been weaponized by, you know, certain ideological factions as a means of suppressing dissent and conversation. Hate speech is real, but it's not, I just said Israel, and I realize it sounds like Israel.
Dude.
Oh my God. Okay, bookmark this exploration for another day. Israel is real. My mind is totally blown right now. Okay, but hate speech is real. And it's not what we've been taught to believe it is. Now, of course, there is the hate speech of like, you know, dissing and bullying people based on race, creed, sexual preference. That is a real category of hate speech. I don't think misgendering someone is hate speech. I don't think saying that gender reassignment surgery is not appropriate for still developing children is hate speech, right? So I'm pointing out like those extremes. But yes, hate speech does exist. And what I'm talking about today it might not be hate speech exactly, but it's certainly violent speech, right? It's certainly operating with the same deleterious, damaging frequencies that are attributed to hate speech. So now that I'm delving deeper into this, I'm going to keep it more as violent speech. It might not really be hate speech, but it's definitely violent speech. Let's unpack it while we sip our master cleanse. Lemon, cayenne, and maple syrup. Can't get enough. Okay, so let's break it down. So the first time, we'll just say girlfriend A delivered this dire, unsolicited warning about the Pluto transit. Issue number one was that she didn't ask. There was no warning. There was no like, hey, are you open to hearing a little bit about my experience of a Pluto transit and some recommendations, right? And this is one of the cardinal rules of quantum languaging. Always ask permission before offering a languaging upgrade. And I would say similarly, always ask permission before projecting bummer stuff onto other people that directly affects them. Like, ask permission before dumping a big pile of stinky, rotten poop onto someone's shoes, because they might not be welcoming of that. But the key in that was the definitive languaging. Your Pluto transit is going to be really hard and disruptive. What? It really hasn't happened yet. We don't know how my Pluto transit is going to present itself. Now, my Pluto transit might threaten to be difficult and disruptive. A lot of people might have in the past experienced really disruptive Pluto transits, but that doesn't mean that that's how it's going to be for me. Now, and there's something here about like staying in our lanes, right? Of like, I might think that Pluto transits are universally hard, but for me to project that onto someone who hasn't yet gone through their Pluto transit, not that everyone has them, is doing them a disservice and is programming them, whether I'm aware of it or not, for impending suckiness. I see this all the time around the Saturn returns conversation, and where, and I'm just checking my timing because this is clearly a process heavy podcast. I know we're all grown-ups and we can deal with it. But I see this all the time around the Saturn return conversation, where it's so loaded with so much projected fear from people who had a hard time during their Saturn return, that I see other people who know what a Saturn return is, which is, you know, that 27 year and a half cycle where Saturn returns to the placement it was at when we took incarnation, and it lasts from 27 and a half, I believe, to 29, like around that range. But it has a lot of people who are stepping into that consumed with a lot of fear, right, and pessimism. Personally, I had a great Saturn return. My Saturn return was freaking awesome. Nothing about it was painful at all. And it was like clockwork. Like, I turned 27, I inched toward that 27 and a half mark. And one day I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to quit my job and get a one-way ticket to India and just explore this whole like yoga spirituality thing that I've been dipping my toes into. And then I bought my one-way ticket and I was like, I should probably break up with my live-in boyfriend and let him know that this is my plan. And that's what I did. And it launched me on this journey. I bought a one-way ticket to India. I backpacked. I played. I just like very easily let everything go and surrendered to the experience. And it was freaking beautiful, right? So I didn't give in to the lore around the Saturn return. I think it would be wise for us to be mindful of staying in our lanes when it comes to any negative experiences that we've had, and to be very careful to not project those onto other people, because when we do that, we're seeding their quantum fields with yuckiness. So let's move into the case that happened yesterday with my girlfriend. And I want to be clear, it's in both cases, it's so well-meaning, it's so well-intended, right? It's coming from a place of love. But I think a lot of us are unconscious to the fact that some of our strategies for loving others are actually really damaging and really codependent. And this is one of those instances. So with what happened yesterday, again, unsolicited. I did not ask my friend for any advice about fasting. I wasn't having any difficulties with my fasting. I've got it dialed. I just mentioned it in passing. And then all of a sudden, I was just being bombarded with all these things that I had to do. And if I didn't do them, these were the terrible things that would happen to me. So it came off as really, really violent, really aggressive, really out of line and unwarranted because I didn't ask. And what, so when stuff like that happens, I consider it inconsiderate. This is going to happen, I guess, for this whole podcast, this crazy wordplay. I consider it kind of the peak of inconsiderate, where like, are you not aware of how much negativity you are attempting to project into my space? Like, keep your poop on your side of the street. I didn't ask for it. I'm not freaking interested. So what happened was, in the past, she has had troubles with fasting. In the past, she has had troubles with not keeping her kidneys warm while she's been fasting. In the past, she has had trouble when she doesn't take binders, and that has created stomach issues for her. But what was missing in this communication was, in both of these instances, was both of my friends, instead of owning their own experience and sharing from their side of the street, from their lane, look, here was my experience with a Pluto transit with fasting. And based on my experience, are you open to some recommendations? Or even based on my experience, here are some things that might be helpful for you, right? Couched that way, I'm not going to be triggered, right? Because that person is staying in their lane. But in both instances, I was triggered. Now, with my girlfriend in the car, because it was happening face-to-face real time, I was like, whoa, 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 clear, cancel, delete. I'm not available for your disaster baiting. You haven't asked me like if I'm open to this, and we haven't even like synced up our frequencies. And I find this like kind of first and foremost on just a basic like human friend level. If you see me multitasking, it's just because I'm watching the time. I so appreciate it when I'm connecting with a friend, and I understand what it's like. Like, you guys know, I have a lot of energy, right? I'm still learning to consciously slow myself down when I'm just talking to you. So I know the inclination when I'm seeing a friend who I haven't seen, or just a friend that I love, and there's so much I want to share, to just instantly be like, and this happened, and this happened, and look what I bought, and this and that, and da da da. But I find that it's really far more helpful, respectful, and useful to check in with each other's energies when we're first connecting. See where we're at. Feel it out. You know, a lot of times I'll talk about the masculine-feminine polarities. When we come in with an agenda, when we're connecting with a friend, even when it's well-intended, right? I'm so excited to tell, you know, girlfriend X, A, B, and C, and I, you know, step into her house, and I'm like, here, I did this, and I did this, and let's do this. That is me coming in with the masculine. That is the masculine imbalance, because I have an agenda, I have stuff I want to give, I want to deliver, but I haven't taken that moment to pause and to receive the other person's energy and to just be curious of like, where is this other person's energy? Are they authentically in a place to receive everything that I have to give right now? For me, it feels far more respectful, considerate, and useful to just check in when first connecting with a friend. Hey, how you're doing? Feel their energy. It's not like I need them to give me a list of adjectives as to where they're at, but I can just feel it out. Come in a little bit more curious. Come in with the feminine. Come in receptive. Where's Danny's energy at right now? And that goes back to the questions that I purport. Are you open to some reflections, right? The masculine just barrels over. You're going to get, you know, I'm cursing you, and you're going to receive my two cents whether you want them or not. Deal with it, right? The feminine is, let me feel where my friend's at. Is she in a place to receive this? Is this the right moment? And then to ask, are you open to hearing a little bit about my fasting experience. Are you open to receiving, you know, some input as to what's really worked for me with fasting, right? Then, okay, now I'm softened. Now I might be in a place to receive the other person's experience. But when that experience is being thrust upon me as a curse, and I'm not using that word lightly, this is exactly how this communication pattern is functioning, as a curse. I don't want to hear it, right? And I've observed in the larger collective landscape, and especially among my clients, curses have a tendency to trigger one another, right? When we're projecting stuff onto one another with you statements, right? And I've broken down the, what isn't working in this type of communication by way of the exact words that are actually triggering and taking people from being in their lane into overstepping. We're going to start with the prescriptive you. It is very, very rare that I see you statements working, that I see you statements being bandied about in conversation and not leading to conflict, right? You statements are tricky. You statements carry the subtle inference that whoever is speaking has some sort of authority on the you that they are addressing. Now, I go much deeper into this in my book, The Language of Betterarchy, my new book. And I also talk about this in depth in my Language of Sovereign Authority webinar, which is available on my website. And I do want to let you guys know that I'm currently working with a marketing genius who's cluing me into the fact that all of my offerings are offensively underpriced. They're kind of ridiculously underpriced. And look, I give myself so much compassion for my journey into successful entrepreneurship, because I'm a creative, right? All of this is so outside of my comfort zone. So I'm only figuring this stuff out now as I am in the process of learning and claiming my own value. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because all my prices are about to go way up as a means of reflecting the value that is embedded in all of my offerings. So I do recommend, if you're wanting to clue in to the kind of granular details of what I'm calling a language of sovereign authority, which, to be honest, was the predecessor for the Language of Betterarchy. It's basically a 3-hour Language of Betterarchy webinar. I do recommend going over to my website, it's on quantumlanguaging.com, and nabbing your free lifetime access now, because, like I said, these things are not going to be priced in this way for that much longer. But going back to the prescriptive you, what it does is it carries the subtle implication that whoever is speaking has authority over whomever they're speaking to. What this does is it activates the amygdala, or the lizard brain, in our audience. So when my girlfriend said, you know, you really need to be taking binders or you're going to get stomach cramps, there was a very big aspect of me that was like, shut up. Do not ever tell me what to do. You are not the boss of me. Now, luckily, I am learning to keep those aspects of me in check, because I know my girlfriend was only telling me this because she loves me and because she cares and because she has not taken my Language of Sovereign Authority webinar, right? So, you know, it's really incumbent upon those of us who understand these languaging codes and how they're functioning to not freak out on people who don't know them, right? And to exercise compassion and tolerance with people who are using damaging and deleterious languaging patterns, because 9 times out of 10, it's not their intention to try to claim authority over us or boss us around or tell us what to do. But it doesn't matter what the intention is, the coding in this languaging remains the same. So when I say, you know, you should buy my Language of Sovereign Authority webinar, I am very subtly inferring that I have some sort of authority over you, and I have some sort of agency to tell you what to do. So for anyone running rebel consciousness, and, you know, for those of us who aren't, it will very often trigger a reaction, trigger defensiveness, trigger an armoring, trigger a like, I've got it, don't tell me what to do, right? Which creates more distance, contraction, constriction, and friction in our relationships, right? But subtly shifting out of that prescriptive you into, here's my experience, here's what worked for me, maybe it'll work for you, maybe you want to consider it. That softens any subtle unconscious power play embedded in the languaging codes, allows us to be speaking to one another on an equal plane from a place of mutual respect, and quells the possibility of someone being triggered and going into defensive mode because they feel like their agency and their sovereignty is being infringed upon. I cannot overstate how helpful this shift is from moving away from you statements into I statements. Now, Marshall Rosenberg does a much better job than I do of really unpacking this in his book, Nonviolent Communication. Now, of course, from my languaging perspective, I want to rebrand his work Peaceful Communication, but he really paved the way for a lot of the work that I'm doing, a lot of the work that all of us are doing in terms of up-leveling our communication into a more conscious, mutually respectful place. So I do highly recommend reading Nonviolent Communication if you haven't yet, especially if you are, you know, have family, are in partnership, like are in these relationships that can be really, really triggering. All of the techniques he shares in that book are so, so super, super helpful. Pause for sip. Okay, so adjustment number one is moving away from any prescriptive you statements. You should do this, this is gonna happen to you, and just owning our experience. That one shift in and of itself, I guarantee will transform your relationships in a massive way. I stand by it, 100%. I see it like I always envision, because for me in the way that I work with languaging, a lot of the coding and languaging, a lot of the ways that I find my way into the frequencies, they'll show up for me as visual images in my mind, right? So someone, you know, like when my girlfriend was telling me the stuff about, you know, you need to take binders and you need to cover your kidneys and you need to do these things, I envision that as a finger pointed at my chest and literally poking at me. You know, when you're a kid and you like your brother would pin you down and like poke your chest really hard. That is what this languaging pattern feels like to me. That is what any prescriptive you feels like to me. It feels like a finger pointing at my chest. And it like for me, because I'm so sensitive, like it does inspire violent reactions. Like it makes me want to like shove the person as far away as possible because it feels like such a threat to my sovereignty. Now, I use my tools to manage what's coming up for me because it's all kind of exaggerated and exacerbated with my own personal relationship to the languaging frequencies. Now, the other two words that really sullied both of these communications were when and will. When Pluto hits your sun, it's going to be really hard. Now, of course, Pluto is going to hit my sun, but we don't know that it's going to be really hard, right? That is a projection. And as brilliant as my friend is, like she's certainly not a fortune teller. She can't determine how reality is going to configure. You know, when my girlfriend said, well, if you don't take binders, you're going to have a stomach ache. And when you wake up, you'll be constipated. Like, where is all this Kreskin-like clairvoyant, definitive languaging coming from? It's coming from unconsciousness, right? Like I said, none of this is happening intentionally, but it does go back to the idea that intention doesn't matter. And there was someone who recently put out a show that was attempting to counter this. It was someone in the Consilience Project kind of band of bad doers. Yeah, not do-gooders, do-batters. I'm not remembering who it was at the moment, but like, I know there's this kind of ridiculous idea that it's all about intention. It was Heather Heing. And it was Heather Heing, and I really felt, and this could be like paranoid conspiracy theory tendencies, I totally own that, but I felt like it was a direct communication to me and a direct kind of attempt to like undercut my work, but it's completely false. Intention is irrelevant. In both of these instances, and I'm going to give you a third one in a second, but in both of these instances, my girlfriends were coming from pure love, pure care for me, purely wanting to help me and support me. I know this with absolute certainty. There was not an aspect of either of these communications that was attempting to claim power over me, that was attempting to bum me out, that was attempting to project negativity onto me. But that is exactly what happened, because that is the coding embedded in the frequencies of the words they were using and the framing of the advice they were sharing. And this is where a lot of times like misunderstandings come about, when people do have our best interests in mind, but have not yet refined their languaging patterns. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a fight, and then we'll find out later that like they were actually trying to help us, right? I can't be the only one that's ever happened to. So this definitive, disasturbatory, fear-based language is really not helping any of us. So it's kind of twofold, right? And we see this, like, this is also a big propaganda technique. Take something really scary, take the worst case scenario, and not only give life to it by articulating it, thus activating it in other people's consciousnesses, but then, you know, make it a million times worse by projecting it as definitive, terrible things that are absolutely going to be happening to these people we're addressing. It's so damaging on so many levels. It's like layer after layer after layer after layer of abusing one another and tearing one another down without even realizing that we're doing it to one another. So I could give you a bajillion examples, you know, like just turn on any, you know, mainstream news program and I'll give you, you know, give it 20 minutes. And for sure at some point you'll be bombarded by this definitive projection of all these terrible things that are absolutely for surely gonna happen, right? So it's a propaganda technique that the social engineers use, because when we're in a fear state, when our bodies are being flooded with cortisol and other fight or flight hormones, it literally narrows, it like constricts our critical thinking, and it narrows our point of view so that all of the options and solutions available to us get whittled down to like one or two. And then in this fear state, because so many of us haven't yet cultivated the tools to self-soothe, to move us through these fear states, we are more readily, we're more likely to just grab and receive any like slavey solution that they're gonna offer, like cover your face, take this mandatory injection, give up your free speech, right? We're, for those of us on the sidelines, like, how is this stuff working? Like, how are so many of my fellow brothers and sisters falling for this obvious propaganda, tyrannical, you know, techno-fascist takeover? This is one of the primary reasons, because fear is being weaponized and is being thrust at us through this exact languaging. You're gonna kill grandma. Your kids are gonna die, right? These definitive, terrifying worst-case scenarios are being delivered deliberately to evoke fear in us, because when we're in that fear state, we are a bajillion times easier. Yes, I'm going to stick with that statistic. That's straight out of the Aspen Institute. We're a bajillion times easier to control and to manipulate. For me, because I'm so attuned to this, and I will safeguard my consciousness and my attention like with so much ferocious tenacity, because I'm so attuned to the way this coding works, I have stepped away from entire relationships that are completely fear-based. And this has happened with the members of my family. And it sucks to say. Like, it's not like, yeah, I don't talk to people in my family anymore. It's like a super sucky bummer that I'm not talking to members of my family. But there are a bunch of reasons. And one of them, I'm not going to say it's the only reason, but one of them is that there's a certain family member I have who is extremely prone to cursing me. Now, it's her way of self-soothing and dealing with the stuff that she doesn't like that's happening to her because of the aging process. And she has had this historical pattern of saying, well, when it happens to you, well, this thing is happening to me. And, just wait, it's going to happen to you. And it was like curse after curse after curse after curse. And I'm like, I'm not really available for all these curses. Like, life is hard enough. I'm already dealing with enough obstacles, from big tech and, brainwashed, confused friends who, forgot that I'm a human being, and all of the issues that we deal with in moving ourselves through this matrix, that I don't really need to be hearing that on the regular from the people who are supposedly the closest to me. And again, the intention from all of these people is never to hurt us, but that is the effect that it is having. And that is the effect that this whole like ideological, Maoist woke, you're so disempowered, you're never gonna get a fair shake because you're a Jew, because you have a vagina. Like, all that stuff is cursing people. And that's why I won't play that game. I would never tell a child or a person that they're gonna have it worse because of their gender, their skin color, their sexual preference, because I don't wanna seed that possibility into someone's consciousness, thus rendering it infinitely more likely that that person will experience that kind of suckiness. Like, why not just leave it a blank slate and give everyone the opportunity to co-create their own experiences instead of sullying it with our own sucky experiences? So this is why I'm calling this, again, I'm pulling back from the fact that I was thinking this was hate speech. I think it's more violent speech because none of these people are saying this to create separation between us. But I really want us to understand how important it is. I don't want to say important because, again, I don't want to project my values and priorities onto you. But I personally, based on my own values and my own priorities, always want to A, be setting myself up for as much success, joy, love, health, prosperity, fun, and expansion as possible. I also want to do that with everyone who I meet. Anyone who I am engaging, I am going to be communicating very consciously in a way to uplift, to approve, to encourage, to fill up with as much positive feel-good frequencies as are relevant and appropriate for the exchange. Yes, sucky things happen, but I'm not going to project sucky things onto anyone because I know if I lob that into someone's field, even if I'm not using this like clairvoyant, definitive, scary, Boberry languaging, there's an infinitely more likely possibility of these things manifesting in other people's lives. It's being mindful of how powerful our words are and how simply uttering a word is invoking the frequencies, invoking the potentiality of the reality that those words are speaking to. It's why I talk about why we don't want to use anti, right? When I define myself as anti-sexist, I'm invoking sexism. I'm invoking the experience of more sexism in my personal reality and in our collective reality construct. I wouldn't want to do that. So if I have a friend who's fasting, there's no way in hell I want to activate for that person the potentiality of that person having kidney pain, stomach pain, cramping. I would never want to put that into someone else's field, which is why when I stay in my lane and I just say, a couple times I've had this experience with fasting and I found what was really helpful to prevent that was taking binders and wrapping my kidneys. you know, something you might want to feel into, right? The way that I just said that, I'm not projecting that reality onto someone. I'm not taking my sucky experience and throwing it into someone else's field, thus magnifying and amplifying the likelihood of that person also having the same experience. Same with my friend in the Pluto transit. She had a hard time with her Pluto transit. Trust me, I'm not delusional. Like, I know what it's like. Pluto hit my sun for a short amount of time last March, and I certainly felt it. But there are different ways that we can alchemize and dance with any and all energies. And so while I appreciate my friend sharing her experience, where she crossed the line by saying, here's how it's going to be for you, that made it infinitely more likely that I would manifest a similar experience to hers, because she was programming me, again, inadvertently, not on purpose, with the hard time that she had with something similar. So I always talk about this in terms of like staying in our lanes. And when I say staying in our lanes, I'm not saying don't talk about these topics if you don't have the right gender, skin color, cultural background. Like, obviously, you know, I think that's really stupid. And if you're new and it's not obvious, I think that's really stupid. But it's staying in our lanes in terms of not programming other people with negativity. And this is where boundaries come in, right? And this is kind of an underlying, overlying through line to all my work, especially that I do with all of my coaching clients and all of my consulting clients, is boundaries. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like I did with my girlfriend when she was telling me about the Pluto experience, like, whoa, 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 I'm not available for this. So clear, cancel, delete. I'm not available for you to project your sucky experience onto me. So let's slow our rolls and just check in with each other to see how we're feeling before we dive in to sharing suckiness, right? Beautiful boundary to put up. And that's the boundary around the you statements, right? So one hard and fast rule that I have, is that true that it's a hard and fast rule? No. It's not a hard and fast rule, but something that I consistently abide by with my friends is, let's own each other's experiences and not project negative you statements onto one another. And I've noticed in terms of, like, I was just talking about this with one of my clients yesterday, and she was sharing, you know, a disagreement that she'd had with her brother. And she said, you know, you consistently send me angry texts. And now for where this client is at in her development, articulating that was a breakthrough, right? That is a step towards kind of breaking some of the codependent bonds that we have been unraveling in our work together. But an upgrade, right? Like, that inspired him to come back with something even snarkier and angrier. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really surprised. As much as I love you having your own back and putting up a boundary as far as what types of communication you will receive and you won't receive, I can promise you it would have been a million times better received had you phrased it with, I experience your texts as really angry and they don't land well. Right? So you can play with this on your own, but I recommend like noticing the difference when I say, you know, your texts come off as really angry. If I said that to a friend, I can guarantee that friend is going to get defensive. That friend is going to shut down. That friend is going to be triggered. Or if that friend has a ton of tools, the friend's going to be expending some, you know, psycho-emotional energy in transmuting that trigger and taking responsibility for that trigger in not lashing back out on me, right? And that's beautiful. And there is value in triggering one another kindly and compassionately, but it's not super energetically efficient on the regular, right? Like with all the texts that I received from my friend yesterday about the fast, like I was so cringing and like, ugh, this is terrible. Like, I cannot stand hearing this. And, you know, the other piece of it is like, I don't like to be cringing when my friends are leaving me messages. It feels disrespectful. I want to respect my friends more than Matt. And I don't want to feel like I have to cloak myself and armor myself because my friends are throwing weapons and barbs and arrows and slings my way. Like, those aren't the types of relationships that feel good to me. So when we make the shift from, hello lighting, when we make the shift from projecting our opinions and assessments of other people's anything onto them, and instead stay back in our lanes and say, well, I experience this as, like, let's say I was having a conversation with my friend who left me those messages yesterday. I would say, babe, I know you love me, and I so appreciate your advice and sharing with me from your own experience with fasting. And it landed in a really, like, aggressive, and yucky way. Like, it just landed in a way that made it feel like these things were going to definitively for surely happen to me. And it felt creepy. And I felt like I needed to put up a lot of armor to protect myself from what you were communicating. So in the future, I would prefer if A, you would ask me if I was open to some feedback, and B, if you would frame that feedback by way of your own experience, instead of projecting it onto me as this definitive terrible thing that will definitely happen if I don't do the things that you're advising that I do, right? And so the basic gist is helping us understand, you know, and this is my primary issue with the Western medical paradigm and its tendency to pathologize, right, and to project worst case scenarios on to those who are being diagnosed, right? And I go into this in my Language of Healing work, which is also another webinar, which is also slated to go up in price. So if you're interested, I would also nab that one now. But the whole Western medical paradigm is crippled by the legal industry and by the litigious nature of, I mean, is it the litigious nature? It's like a lawsuit crazy populace, right? And so because of that, the Western medical paradigm is always going to prioritize saving its own ass over healing the patient. That comes second or third or fourth or fifth, you know, profit and whatnot. But because of that, anyone operating in the Western medical paradigm when offering a diagnosis is going to offer the worst case scenario, worst case statistics, how bad it can be to cover their own asses. What they're, you know, the downside of that is, like, sure, their asses might be covered, but they've just projected all those worst case scenarios onto the patient, thus activating those frequencies, those potentialities, those unfoldings, those futures, making it infinitely more likely that the person they're addressing is going to experience those worst case scenarios. So what I'm mindful of is, let's break it down. First and foremost, no prescriptive second person, no you statements. You're going to do this, right? It's, I have a fear that this might happen, or in my experience, this has happened to me, right? We own our fear. We own our experience, while honoring the fact that the person in front of us is completely free, is completely sovereign, and not communicating in such a way that we're programming them in a way that's chipping away at that sovereignty. So after we switch up those you statements, then we move away from the definitive languaging. It's not that these things will happen. None of us are that psychic. And even if we are that psychic, timelines are shifting every single second. In this moment, I could choose to take a sip. I could choose to stop the video right now, stop recording, and say this is over. I can make a litany of different choices that will change future outcomes for you, for me, for all of us. So no one has a definitive say on this is absolutely going to happen. And especially when it comes to sucky stuff, it's wiser to speak about, hey, here's a potentiality. And because, you know, I, as your friend, don't want these things to happen to you, I'd love to offer some suggestions as to ways to work around them, right? So it's like, here's the potentiality framed as a potentiality with languaging that acknowledges that it's something that could possibly happen, removing that definitive curse energy from it, and then from there, offering suggestions, preferably with the request to see if the person is open to receiving said suggestions. So I think the name, like the best name for this languaging pattern that I'm referencing today is gonna be curses and cursing. And I clearly buried the lead because we've reached the end of today's podcast and I just figured out what we're talking about and what I'm gonna call it. And I trust that you get the gist. As you are wanting to learn more about this quantum languaging work, about my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, about how you can work with me and get my 5D ears on your personal languaging habits so that we can hone in on the vulnerabilities, on what are the words and phrases that you are using on the regular that are not serving you, that are sabotaging your happiness, your health, your wealth, your joy, your impact, reach out to me. You can learn more about me on my website, dannykatz.com and quantumlanguaging.com. If you're interested in doing one-on-one coaching with me, which I highly, highly, highly recommend, you can email me through either of those websites. You can find my quantum languaging webinars, including the two that I mentioned today, the Language of Sovereign Authority and the Language of Healing, on that quantumlanguaging.com website. You can find my books on dannykatz.com, on Amazon. If you are not aligned with buying books on Amazon, respect, I love that. Feel free to message me privately. I'm so happy to arrange for a private sale. Thank you for signing up for my newsletter, for following me on Instagram at something.danny. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. Have a rockin' day. If you're wanting to hang out with me for a little bit longer, head on over to my Locals and or Patreon pages for my post-show throwdown, which is a show I record for my supporters where I delve into spicier territory, share some unpopular opinions, and upset a bunch of worldviews in the bestest, most sparkliest of ways. So find that over at dannykatz.locals.com and at patreon.com/dannykatz. Let's keep this party going. I'll see you over there. And for clicking that subscribe button, for liking, for sharing, for commenting, and for leaving some kind words as a review, as you are authentically inspired, as you are receiving any value from my podcast, as you dig it, as you listen regularly, consider supporting me on Patreon and or Locals, where for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half podcast interviews, as well as oodles of bonus content. Your support really goes a long way in supporting me as a journalist and an independent content creator navigate her way through a really crunchy time in terms of free speech. And as you are wanting to learn more about my work in the world, my books, my products, my quantum languaging coaching and consulting, you can find me at dannykatz.com as well as quantumlanguaging.com. And if you're not down with a membership patronage platform and want to send me a one-time donation, you can use the Bitcoin link if it actually appears on your podcast listening platform. You could also send me a one-time donation by way of PayPal at dannykatz@pm.me or by way of Venmo, where my username is Sadie Bloom. Again, your support means the world and makes a massive, massive difference when it comes to continuing to share this work with the world. Thank you for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that you are omniscopic amazingness.
and for having a rockin' day. See you next time, superstars.